Throughout our history, vaccines are always seen as a reliable, essential, pretty much for our health and well-being. Then along came the COVID-19 pandemic. As a result of misinformation, conspiracies, they were able to reach many more people during those times of solitude. What had been a small anti-vax movement grew, and it grew significantly. Now, as we all know, we have someone who has long been an opponent of vaccines heading up the federal government agency, which is responsible for issuing healthcare guidance. That reality has resulted in changes by HHS and the CDC regarding children and vaccine schedules. With us now to explain what these changes are, what their impact just might be, is Health Research Group Director at Public Citizen, Dr. Robert Steinberg. How are you today, Doctor?
Doing okay. Thank you for having me.
And find out more about Public Citizen, the points of focus they have, the information education they provide. It is citizen.org, and we do have that link at our homepage. Let us start with the basics, Doctor, then we'll get into the concerns or the potential impacts of these decisions. What had been the vaccine schedule initially before these changes?
Well, the childhood and vaccine immunization schedule is complex because before the changes involved vaccinating children and adolescents against 17 different diseases, and each disease and the vaccines are different in terms of the timing of the vaccines, the specific medical reasons to vary things between individuals, and so forth. The overall picture is recommending from the federal government, the CDC, that all children now be vaccinated against only 11 diseases. By comparison, the previous recommendation was 17 diseases. So six have been removed from the CDC recommendations. Another aspect of this is that the CDC has said that all immunizations recommended as of December 31st of last year, 2025, will be continue to be covered by the Affordable Care Act insurance plans and federal health insurance programs. So from a practical standpoint, all of the vaccines against all 17 diseases will continue to be available and will continue to be reimbursable by insurance with no changes. The difference is moving things from being recommended to, in some categories, the change is to share decision-making with the clinician, and in some categories it's to high-risk groups. Some of the noteworthy vaccines which are affected are those against hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and rotavirus. It's worth remembering that with hepatitis B, we are starting from a point where this was recommended a birth dose for all newborns, and now it's being moved to a category of shared decision-making, which is a quite significant change.
And what you described, too, that's the reason why there's now basically three tiers for the specific vaccines for the degrees and the availability, like you referenced.
Yes, there are three tiers. And when one gets down into the details about each immunization, it gets more complicated. But the big picture is a step backwards for public health, with the possibility going forward that many preventable hospitalizations will happen and many people will die prematurely. Now, do we know exactly how this is going to play out? No. There are a couple of potential positive factors to countervail this. States issue guidance, public health guidance for their states about recommendations, how to do this in the state, and many states are pushing back and not accepting this, and saying that children should be vaccinated exactly as they were under the previous schedule. And also health insurers outside of the federal government programs have committed already to covering the recommended vaccines as of September of last year. Finally, professional societies such as the American Academy of Pediatrics have also been quite clear in their view that these changes are not the way to go and that the prior childhood immunization schedule was just fine.
Dr. Robert Steinberg, who is Health Research Group Director of Public Citizen, citizen.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What was the basis that the CDC used for these decisions? What would, I mean, when you say science, you always think of study and exploration to come to a finite conclusion. Was that the case here?
No. This was a top-down, politically driven directive to unilaterally change the childhood vaccination schedule. A couple aspects of how this went down are noteworthy to discuss. One is that the Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., had fired everybody on the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which usually reviews all the immunization recommendations from the CDC and any changes to the childhood vaccine schedule. So this was a hand-picked committee, which had also started to make some recommended changes, such as with the hepatitis B vaccine at their December meeting. That committee was entirely bypassed. This came directly from the acting director of the CDC, Jim O'Neill, who is not a physician, with input from some of the other political appointees, such as those at the FDA, the NIH, and CMS, and, of course, people in the central HHS office. So this was not something which involved any attempt to have discussion, any involvement of the career experts at the CDC on immunizations, any detailed public review of data and discussion. It was something that Secretary Kennedy apparently wanted to get done and wanted to get done yesterday.
I looked at the reports that in the guidance that they issued, and the assessment reviewed, reading from one of the reports here, 20 peer developed nations, finding that the U.S. is a global outlier among developed nations in both the number of diseases addressed in routine childhood vaccination schedules and total number of recommended doses. It almost sounds to me like all they care about the numbers of the vaccine count. I didn't see any information about the level of
the
health.
The concept at some level is that children are getting too many shots, and they should get fewer shots, and they should get shots against fewer diseases. Now, the motivation to avoid shots for children or from anybody else, that's okay. But there's a reason why people are getting the immunizations. You have to look at the science. You have to weigh the benefits and the risks. And when you simply say, let's have less shots and let's do that and forget about the reasons why the vaccines are given in the first place, that's the wrong way to do it. The immunization schedule is a dynamic document. There's always new information about vaccines and their safety and their effectiveness. The effectiveness can change over time as the particular strains of various infectious diseases change. So what one wants is a process which allows for prudent changes as the effectiveness vaccines and or the safety change over time. But it's thoughtful public deliberation. It's not a unilateral declaration that we just have to have fewer shots.
Or basically saying, well, they do that few there, we're going to do that few over here now.
Right. And then the other point, speaking generally, is that that's not the way to approach public health in the United States, nor is it the approach to public health in another nation. One has to take into account the population, the diseases which are circulating, the healthcare system, and what is best for one country may appropriately not be the best for another country. But to say the United States is in a different place than other countries, therefore we must change, it's just not the way to approach this.
And from what I was able to get a hold of and look and study for the background for this segment, they're comparing vaccine numbers versus vaccine numbers and not comparing health of children in those 20 other countries versus the health of the children here in America. But with the another common thread I saw in the rationalization for all this was that this is to reestablish trust of the American people for the medical profession. And I'm reading this thinking there's only really basically two sizable groups who don't trust the medical profession. One group are people who just fell prey to bad doctors. The other are anti-vax people.
It seems to be a bit of a political sloganeering. In many people's view, what's being done undermines trust. It leads to confusion. This can be argued both ways. Our view is that these sorts of changes, particularly unilateral with no attempt to build professional consensus, are likely to undermine trust, decrease immunization rates, and over time increase the number of preventable diseases, illness from many different diseases.
We're seeing that with measles.
There's really no data either way. There's a lot of people making political statements, and that's just not the way to do public health.
But what you just said isn't a theory. You can look at the outbreak and the surge of measles cases as proof of the fact that a lower vaccine rate in that instance is causing a spread of a disease that, all intents and purposes, by medical definition, we had eradicated.
Well, there's no question that lower vaccinations and the frequency of vaccine-preventable diseases, unfortunately, the only way to know is to see what happens in the future. And we've seen instances with measles right now. We may well see instances with other diseases several years out. On the other hand, if the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, the states which have pushed back are successful, then vaccination rates in many parts of the country will remain strong, and the negative effects of these changes to the federal recommendations will be less.
So for a parent right now, the best thing they can do, the best step they can make for the children, don't read a CDC report, talk with their doctor.
Yes, and doctors informed by the state health department recommendations in many states, but there's variation, and also by their professional societies, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Physicians for Adults, and the American Medical Association more generally.
He is the Health Research Group Director of Public Citizen. Website is citizen.org. Dr. Robert Steinberg, thank you for the realistic view of the situation. And a lot of confusion happens when messages get crossed, but science is established in the known and the fact, and you help remind us of that. Thanks for being here today.
Okay, thanks for having me.